Numbers is the most tragic of the books of Moses. It records the rebellion of the people, which prompted the judgment of God and the 40-year wilderness wandering, the sin of Moses, which cost him access to the promised land of God, and the licentious behavior of the people with Baal of Peor and the women of Midian, which brought about a plague that killed 24,000 of the sons of Israel. The book of Numbers teaches us how the covenant people of God can go from the spiritual heights of Sinai to the very lowest depths of apostasy and depravity. The name Numbers is derived from the book's beginning section, where the host of Israel is counted and organized into tribal, family, and marching orders. 1 year has passed since the night when God came upon the Egyptians and killed all of the firstborn of Egypt. While encamped at Sinai, for the very first time, the memorial of the Passover is observed as it looks back at that dreadful night when God spared his people. The people finally broke camp and began their journey to Canaan. In Numbers chapter 10, verses 11 through 13, we read, "Now it came to pass on the 20th day of the second month in the second year that the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle of the testimony, and the children of Israel set out from the wilderness of Sinai on their journeys. Then the cloud settled down in the wilderness of Paran. So they started out for the first time according to the command of the Lord by the hand of Moses." This should have been a triumphant and glorious journey as God was miraculously leading his people to their promised abode. But it was immediately marred when the people complained in Numbers 11 and verse 1. Now, the complaining of the people is one of the constant themes of this book. The College Press NIV commentary notes, quote, "Popular optimism melting beneath the blazing sun. The real discomfort of the desert caused some Israelites foolishly to forget their glorious purpose and to focus only upon their present misery. Thus, the people complained about their hardships. Literally, the people were like those complaining of evil. This faithless discontent aroused the sovereign Lord's righteous anger, and he responded with fire from the Lord." Complaining was bad, but Israel's greatest error was about to commence and bring the judgment of God far worse than a little fire. The Bible says that as they approached the land of Canaan, Moses dispatched 12 men, a representative from each of the tribes, to spy out the land and investigate what was before them. Those spies returned after a 40-day sojourn to give a mostly negative and pessimistic report. 10 of the 12 lamented that the land was full of giants, and the cities were walled and fortified and well protected. Only Joshua and Caleb spoke out in the affirmative, declaring that the people could take the land with the Lord as their righteous protector and aid. We read this account in Numbers 14, verses 1 through 4, maybe the most important chapter in the book. "So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, 'If only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt?' So they said to one another, 'Let us select a leader and return to Egypt.'" Can you imagine such a thing? After all that God did to bring them out of that land of toil and bondage, now they set their sights on a return voyage to Egypt. Gordon Wenham explains the seriousness of the situation. Quote, "Now the rebellion reaches its climax. Appalled by the spies' description of the promised land, the people broke down completely. In the Hebrew, the verbs pile up in an attempt to express the passions unleashed. They reflect that anything they have experienced up to now will be better than Canaan. The thought moves from Egypt to the wilderness to Canaan and then back to Egypt. Time has already dulled their bitter memories of Egypt, and in an earlier rebellion, they had looked back on it with a certain wistfulness. But this time, they actually propose returning to Egypt, thereby completely rejecting the whole plan of redemption. God wanted to destroy them all, telling Moses, "How long will these people reject me? And how long will they not believe me with all the signs which I have performed among them? I will strike them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and I will make of you a nation greater and mightier than they." Numbers 14, 11, and 12. Now Moses interceded on behalf of his people, appealing to God's great loving kindness and mercy, which he had elaborated upon in Exodus 34 when the Lord presented himself and his glory to Moses. Instead of destroying the whole nation, the Lord cursed them with 40 years of wilderness wandering until that faithless generation died out and their children were ready to take up the mantle of God's sovereign plan to take the land sworn to Abraham hundreds of years earlier. The New American Commentary says, "The central and unifying theme of the book of Numbers is the faithfulness of God to fulfill his promise to his people, even when they rebel against him." And James Smith puts it this way, quote, "The Israelites constantly grumbled against the provision of God. At times, the divine patience wore thin, and the people experienced disciplinary judgments. God's forbearance, however, is indicated in the fact that he did not abandon his people." It is the book of Numbers which recounts the priestly benediction given to Aaron by God himself. One of the key passages of the book, Numbers 6, 24 through 26, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." Yes, God was ready to destroy the nation and to start over. But Moses was able to plead with God, based on the Lord's own loving kindness and mercy, to give them another chance. And because the Lord had blessed them, because the Lord had made them his own people, he was willing to continue to try to work through them to fulfill the promises he made so long ago. His loving kindness continued to flow in spite of their persistent rebellion and complaining.